Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike Hoggard here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. No, we're not going to 2 Peter chapter 3 today. We're still dealing with that theme of the day of the Lord, but I want us to just move along because I have several things I want to go through today and kind of move through this part of 2 Peter chapter 3. So go to Ezekiel chapter 30 in your Bible. We've looked at Isaiah, Jeremiah. We've looked at places. We talked last week about in the day of the Lord, there's going to be an overflowing flood, the flood of ungodliness. The Bible talks about the hailstones, the walls daubed with untempered mortar, representing the things that churches are building right now, the ability of man to do something. Man is better than God, as it were. And God said, I'm going to expose all of that, and I'm going to break all your walls down, and then you'll know that I'm the Lord. And if you just stop and think about that, how many times God tells his people, then you shall know that I'm the Lord. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord. And there's two things with this. Number one, he doesn't just tell that to Israel. He tells it to the heathen, too. Number one, nobody believes in God anymore, or people believe in a false god or false gods. And God says, you're going to know who I am for real. You're going to know that before it's all said and done. And so that's the bad part of it. The good part of it is, and this is what I like, is that God is saying to them, then you're going to know that I am the Lord. You're going to know who I am. See, Israel followed God, but they followed God in a mystery. Paul then, and the New Testament, opens up that mystery and reveals that mystery. But Israel is blinded in part, and to them, God is still a mystery. But one of these days, God promises to Israel that he's going to reveal himself, that the veil of Moses is going to come off, the Bible says, when it turns to the Lord, and they're going to know that Jesus is the Lord. They're going to know that. And I absolutely love that. Something like that dawned on me a few years ago. I heard a pastor, he was talking to somebody about the nation of Israel and about the things that they're under right now. And, you know, them saying on the day of Christ's crucifixion, when they had a choice between Barabbas and Jesus, they said, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And they said to Pontius Pilate, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And we commonly take that, and rightfully so, we commonly take that to mean that, you know, the blood of God's vengeance is going to be on Israel. And so for 2,000 years, and those people have been killed, murdered, kicked all over the planet, and all sorts of things have happened to them. But beyond that, Christ's blood is going to be upon them, the same way it's upon me, covering our sins, covering our transgressions. And I absolutely love that part. Anyway, I digress. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 3, just got one verse here, and it says, let me begin in verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, how ye, woe worth the day. For the day is near. We're always talking about a day. There's going to come a time, and it's going to happen, folks. Even the day of the Lord is near. Never allow yourself in your mind to think that the day of the Lord, that's just some, I got years before I start worrying about that. The warning of the Bible is that the day of the Lord is near, and it's a cloudy day. We discussed that in our video on the clouds, the storms coming, and I have several things to add to that. It shall be the time of the heathen. Now, I want you to approach this from the standpoint of the day that we live in today. We're living in a time right now where Bible Christianity, what they call the Judeo-Christian ethic values, the law of the Ten Commandments. We live in a day now, who cares about that? No one cares about God's law anymore. No one cares about it anymore at all. Whereas a long time ago in this country, probably a lot of other countries, there was a common decency. And it was a common decency based upon God's law and God's principle. There was a fear of God in people's hearts. They probably weren't saved, but they had a respect. People had a respect for churches. It's nothing for me to drive to our top secret broadcasting bunker here at 1233 American Legion Drive in Festus, Missouri, and see people that have thrown beer bottles and different things like that. I've had people, I've had it on two different occasions. I've had people come in, pull into the parking lot, use the bathroom on the parking lot, turn around and leave. People don't care anymore. They're heathens. We're looking at a day now where the day of the heathen is going to take place. They're going to have their day. The heathen are going to get to a point where Barney Frank and all these liberals and all these homosexuals and all these adulterers and everybody else, they're finally going to be, they're going to be free from the restrictions of God's law. They're going to be able to do whatever they want to, because Romans chapter 1 says God's going to turn them over to work that which is unseemly. They're just going to do whatever they want to do. That day is coming to them, but woe unto them when that day comes. Now, Joel 2, great, great book of the Bible. You know, they're all good, but there's a lot of good meat in Joel, that some things that I get in Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "Blow you the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." And here's that concept of the hand. You know, in some of our videos, we talked about the hand of the mystery. We see a number here. Well, the number 5. We see the fifth trumpet sounding. We see the rapture taking place associated with the number 5. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then Mr. Thumpkin here. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And to that I give 2 thumbs up. Okay? Looking forward to that day. I believe that it's associated with a time prophecy. I can't prove it. I'm not going to lay out some chart of how I think everything's going to happen. That is far beyond me. But I think there's a 5-month time prophecy that is associated with, you know what? Let's just go there. All right. This is our slow Bible study. And let's just walk through the scriptures. Genesis chapter 7. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah." There's like a billion and a half things that are associated in the Bible with the days of Noah. And what a massive statement comes out of the Lord's mouth. But I want you to notice something in Genesis chapter 7. Here we have not only God telling Noah. Now I want you to understand this and understand where I'm coming from. Not only God telling Noah the exact day that the flood is going to occur. God tells Noah that in the same manner, we do not know the day nor the hour of the Lord's coming. However, John chapter 16 reveals to us that the Spirit reveals all things, because God has given the Son all things, and the Spirit is going to come and show us things to come. Amos, the Bible says, "Surely the Lord doeth nothing. He revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets." And I believe, I don't know the day or the hour, and I'm never, ever, ever, and unless the Lord just says, "Here it is," I'm never going to just say, I know it. If you'll send me $49.95, you know, this is not like $49.95, it's like $4,995. If you'll send me that, I'll send you the video of the book that tells you exactly the day of the Lord. I'm never going to do that. But Noah knew. He knew the day. So it says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And if you follow the biblical example, Noah knew. Nobody else did. They didn't care. They weren't paying attention. So God revealed it to Noah, but the rest of the world didn't know. And the Apostle Paul, was it Peter, was talking about the day of the Lord, and it was Paul. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he's talking about the day of the Lord. "So cometh as a thief in the night." We are children of the day, not of the night. Therefore, that day would not overtake us as a thief. In other words, I think when we get real, real, real close to it, I think we're going to know. It's just a little idea that I have. You search the scriptures out to see whether or not these things be true. But anyway, here's what I wanted to get at. The Bible's so specific on things that it tells us the exact day that the flood began. And so it says in verse 11, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month," okay, the 17th day of the month, "the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open." Now, we skip on forward to, let's see here. verse 24, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Okay? That is exactly 5 months. That is the same 5 month time prophecy mentioned here in Revelation, or as some say, Revelations, chapter 9. And it talks about the fifth angel sounding, the key to the bottomless pit and all that stuff. And it was opened up, and locusts came out, and the scorpions, and all these demons, these devils that have been cast in. They are in prison, being reserved in the day of judgment. And to them, in verse 5, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. This is a direct link with the days of Noah. This is the flood of the waves. And if you look at the Aquarian symbol, the age of Aquarius, it's two waves, one up and one down. And that shows you as above, so below. But it also shows you the source of the water is that the windows of heaven came forth. The windows of heaven opened up. Water came down from heaven. And then we have water rising up out of the earth. The fountains of the great deep opened up. And so here we have in the book of Revelation, we have that exact concept. So here we have Lucifer being cast out of heaven. He's falling down from heaven. And we see in Revelation 12 that he takes his tail and takes a third of the stars and casts them down. So here the floods are coming down. And then here in Revelation 9, the key is used to open the pit, and the fountains of the great deep are opened up, and this water is coming up from underneath the ground. And so that's just what I see in that. And like I say, you just take these things and go to the Lord and say, God, Mike Hoggard said this. Is he a liar? And God will tell you if I'm a liar or not. All right. But anyway, so it says the day of the Lord is at hand. I believe it's associated with the time prophecy. I believe it's associated with patterns that we see in the scripture. And, you know, it's associated with the rapture of the Gentile church in those days. The number 5 consistently seen all throughout that in the scriptures. So the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And then in chapter 2 of Joel, verse 28, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will, here it is, pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Incidentally, the Aquarian, I talked about the Aquarian symbol being two waves, but the constellation of Aquarius features, some say it's a man or a woman who is pouring out things, okay? And I'm not saying that the occult is a good guide to Bible prophecy. No, Bible prophecy is a really good guide. In fact, it is the ultimate guide to the occult world. What you'll see in the scriptures and the symbols that you see in the scripture, you will see in the occult realm, and you kind of get understanding that way. But anyway, verse 29, also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. So watch this. As God pours out his spirit to his people, and I believe that this second outpouring is reserved for Israel of the last days, as God pours out his spirit to them, simultaneously, then the devil is pouring out his spirit. Here it is, the rains came down and the floods came up. That whole thing that we taught a while ago is going to happen during this time. In verse 30, he said, I will show wonders in heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now, let me just, we're going just all over the place today. And I just, if you like this, tell God thank you. If you don't like it, click the stop button on your player on your browser there and go watch something on YouTube or something like that. But anyway, I'm having fun today. He said, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Now, people have speculated, oh my goodness, that's going to be meteor showers or UFOs or this or that and the other. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Let the Bible speak for the Bible. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Here a little and there a little. And this is what I found one day. Revelation 12. Here this context that we're in. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Well, he said, I will show wonders in the heavens. So here is a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Here's two wonders right here. How many more do you need? But I think that these wonders that are being talked about in Revelation 12 are the wonders that God said He will show when He is ready to pour things out. And I will show wonders in the heaven and the earth, blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible, terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. That's Jesus Christ. He is the deliverance. And it was in Jerusalem, Mount Zion, shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, some people have kind of got on to me a little bit about some things I've said in about Israel. I'm not backing down from that. Israel's Israel, and God knows who they are. Let me say this. There is a difference between the nation state and the politics and the government of the state of Israel right now. There is a difference between them and the remnant that God's going to call. There is a difference between those who are of Israel. Paul said they're not all Israel who are of Israel. And he was speaking correctly. Not every Jew that is going to be alive at this time is going to be saved. There are some wicked, vile, nasty, Rosicrucian, Freemasonic, satanic worshiping Jews out there. They're everywhere. I believe they're in the Vatican. I believe they are behind the scenes in American politics. I believe Rahm Emanuel. I believe they're behind the scenes in Jewish politics. This whole Zionist conspiracy. I think there's something to that. That doesn't excuse us or anybody else from that doesn't give us an excuse to curse Israel. We're not supposed to do that. There is a remnant, a tithe, 10%. There is a tithe, a remnant that God is going to save of Israel in the last days. They are of the literal seed of Abraham, and they're going to know that Jesus is Messiah. That's what I believe. But anyway, that day is going to come, and we see all those things. Now, Amos chapter 5, this is one of those that everybody said, oh, I can't wait till Jesus comes. Oh, I can't wait till Jesus comes. You know, I can't wait either. I mean, I would like for the Lord to come. But let's be sober-minded about the times that we're living in. My goodness, what kind of world do we live in right now? I mean, we got, you know, the whole Gulf of Mexico is like covered with oil. Our country's failing. The banks of the world are failing. Everything's failing except for China. And but anyway, we need to be sober-minded about the day of the Lord. This idea that, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm just going to be raptured and everything's going to be fine. Man, I don't know. You know, I like this premillennial, pre-tribulation. I like that as much as anybody. And I don't want to take away from that. But I will tell you that I sincerely believe that there are things that are going to happen before we're translated out. Now, don't put me as a mid-trib, post-trib, you know, non-trib. Don't do that, okay? What I'm telling you is, let's be sober-minded. We did a study on 1 Peter, and 1 Peter was telling us, hey, fiery trial, you know, which is to try us. And I think it's going to happen. I think there's going to be a fiery trial. So he says here in Amos chapter 5, verse 18, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? Now, I'm going to stop right here because I think we need to stop and think, if these things were to take place or begin to take place today, where do we stand with the Lord? And how much exercise have we been doing? You know, spiritual exercise. I'm not talking about, you know, this contemplative prayer stuff, which we did a video on. Those are the spiritual exercises that the guy that started the Jesuits, Ignatius, Ignoramus. Not talking about that. I'm talking about, Paul said, exercise thyself rather in the godliness. Learn how to pray. Learn how to know these scriptures. Learn how to say no to sin. Learn how to do things that are righteous and holy and are befitting a soldier in the army of the Lord. Learn how to do those things. That's being exercised unto godliness. And we need to stop and think, you know, okay, if this is the day of the Lord, how's it going to end for us? I mean, how's it going to be for us? So he says, Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Oh, let's stop right here. The beast, he's like a lion and he's like a bear. Hosea chapter 13, God said, I'm going to be as them. In other words, you're going to think you're serving God and worshiping God, but you're not. You're serving the one who's a lion and a bear and a leopard and a terrible beast. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. We've talked about that is a great study. Start looking in the Bible about the poison of asps, the poison of serpents. The strange woman has the poison of serpents. When Israel murmured and complained against God, God released the serpents on her. And 23,000 in one day, there's a number that right there, 23, fell in one day, the Bible says. 23,000 of them fell in one day. Why? God was not happy with them. And so, this thing here is telling us about, you know, we have the symbolism of the lion and the bear. That's the Antichrist coming. The serpent, the dragon giving him power, and a serpent bit him. That's the poison. That's what's going to kill mankind in the last days is this poison. There's a rock group called Poison. I think that has something to do with it because rock and roll definitely is killing. It's killing our young people. It's killing America. It's killing our churches. We can see that poison everywhere in the, you know what? I got a new addition here to my little book stash here. I don't do this very long. I want to zoom in here so you can see this. This is my Holy Bible New King James Version with my little Triquetra symbol on the top of it there. And so this is the poison right here. You say, well, you know, just only a few places were changed. There you go, because if you're going to drink the poison, you got to have a lot of water to go with it. And this is the poison showing up in the last days. And that's what he's talking about in the day of the Lord. By the way, Amos is the one who said, where God said, I'm going to send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, but a famine of hearing the words of God. And what do we have right now in our churches, all across this country, all across the world? What do we have? Nobody's hearing the word of the Lord. Or they're getting preached to out of a Bible something like, but they're not getting the word of God. There's a famine right now. People, and one of the things that people, I'm just passing along what people have told me. One of the drawing points of the ministry that we have here is that I'm just going to give you the King James Bible. I'm going to tell you what this word is, because too many of you have sat in a church where the pastor was NIV this, another translation says this, or biblical themes and concepts. The Word of God was not touched. And people got hungry. They were starving. And they wanted to hear the Word of God. And I am just thankful that God did not leave me out in the wilderness of starvation. He brought me in. So he says in verse 20, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it. And I will tell you that we are moving toward dark days. Now let's go to Zephaniah. Did I say that right? No. Zephaniah is where we're going to go. Chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. Notice the double speak here. He says it is near. It is near. 1, 2. That shows you... And go get our King James Code video on the very first volume. I talk about the number 2, for God speaketh once, yea, twice. You'll see that all through the Bible. Babylon is fallen. Dagon fell once and then he fell again. You see that double thing there. Why? Because Jesus came the first time and destroyed the power of the devil and destroyed the power of Babylon the Great at the cross. But what happened when after Dagon fell the first time? What happened? They stood him right back up. It's exactly what has happened. Is that after Christ died and broke all the power of the enemy, destroyed all the power of the enemy, mankind stood him right back up and said, you know what? We don't want that real Jesus. We want the fake stuff. That's what we want. We want fake stuff. And that's what people have done over the years. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a day when it's going to boom. It's going to happen. And so, and it's going to happen for good, forever, for real. Dagon's going to be fallen, and he's not going to stand back up again. So he says, here again in verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near, it is near. So it was near the first time in Zephaniah's day. This is the day of the Lord's coming the first time. Then it's near again, the day of the Lord's coming the second time. By the way, God told Israel, he said, I'm going to render for all your sins double. See, I like it. And he's not saying that in the context of the double judgment. He's saying in the context of twice as much forgiveness than they've ever had before. They rejected me the first time. I'm going to give them a double blessing in the last days. That is the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is Elisha wanting the double portion of the Spirit after Elijah. What happened to Elijah? He got raptured. Okay? And that's the types and the pictures that we see in the Bible. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. In other words, you're not going to rely upon your own strength. You're not going to say, well, I'm tough. I can handle it. I can handle anything. That's not going to happen. He said, verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble. Take that word. You know what? I'll do another study on the day of trouble because it's associated with the day of the Lord. It's a day of trouble. I'll tell you something. I remember, Uncle Mike tell you a little story about my childhood. One of the stupidest things I ever did is me and a friend of mine from up the street where I lived, up the road there in this little subdivision, we were up in his treehouse playing with matches. Oh, my goodness. And we were lighting fires up in the treehouse. It's made of wood. And all of a sudden, we lit a fire and we didn't put it out and it got away from us. And we jumped down out of the tree and we turned around and it just looked like I could just see Moses staring at the burning bush because this tree was on fire. And we ran around the front of his mobile home that he lived in, and his mother was sitting out there with his little brother, and we saw her and we just panicked and we went like that. And well, to make a long story short, because I can make it a lot longer, I went home. My sister, who loves me so much, my mom was away helping some people for our church move, and my sister called my mom. And my mom told me, she said, son, you go in your room. And the fire department had to come out and, you know, put the tree out. And my mom told me, son, I want you to go to your room and I want you to pray because when I get home, I'm going to kill you. And it was the worst spanking I ever got in my life. And the reason why it was the worst is because I had to wait on it all day long. And I sat in my room crying and praying, just knowing. I knew I was in trouble. And I'll tell you something. If you've ever been in trouble, you know that feeling. And I'll tell you, there's coming a time, people. There's a lot of people that you and I know, and it may be you. That day is going to come. And boy, are you in trouble. You're in big, big trouble. So he said, it's a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. We see that all through the scriptures. Then he says, a day of the trumpet, Revelation, Revelation 8 and Revelation 9. A day of the trumpet and alarm. By the way, what are we waiting to hear? The last trump. The day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. And I want you to think about that because God is going to release beasts. You remember what happened to Jezebel, and what was prophesied of her was that she would be dog's dung out in the field. That is exactly what happened to her. Because once she was thrown out of that window, the dogs came and ate every square inch of her body except the palms of her hands and I think her skull. But they ate her body. And then what happened? They went out into the field and Jezebel became the dung of those dogs. And this is what God is saying. Well, I'll tell you what, this is a terrible, terrible thing. But if you look in Ezekiel 14, you look at the prophecies that God gave to Israel concerning if they violated His covenant and walked away from Him. God said He was going to put a beast into the land, and they were going to destroy people. And you see that in the scriptures. And we live in America, and you know, we can go camping in the middle of the night, really not have to worry about anything too much in this country. But I think there's going to come a time when God is going to allow the beasts to take back over this land, and the people are going to be consumed and their flesh is done. Now, verse 18 is what I want to get to this. And very quickly, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them the day of the Lord's wrath. And so there were ministries during the 90s. When this Y2K thing sprang up, they were selling gold and silver. They were selling it on paper, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Because if the economy goes bad, that little piece of paper you've got, that don't amount to a hill of beans. Okay? If you're going to buy gold and silver, go buy a bar of gold, okay, or gold coin or whatever. But anyway, all these, they were making money now off prophecy. They were making money off gold and silver, saying, well, Y2K is going to happen. It's going to start the tribulation, and you're not going to be raptured, and it's going to be bad, and you're going to be starving to death unless you have our gold and our silver. And people were buying this stuff up. They were buying dehydrated food. They were buying everything and storing it up. That was 10 years ago, okay? And I'm telling you that the silver and the gold will not be able to deliver you in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, and he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. I guarantee you, in the day of the Lord, if you got all this gold and silver, I guarantee you that the Lord's not going to come through, and you're going to go, look, I've got gold. Will you spare me? God's going to say, no, I've got enough pavement. Thank you. So it's not going to save you. What is going to save you? The blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's close this part out with this. Let me just read it off my paper here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. And isn't it amazing that all these preachers are telling everybody peace, and everybody in the world is saying, oh, we don't care if we lose our civil liberties and our rights and everything, just keep us safe. You know, you can be safe in prison, is what you can be. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Boom, this is the day of the Lord. Boom, it's going to happen. Fast, quickly. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So, you know, be listening. Ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. You know what that means? That means don't go into a beta, theta, or delta state of altered consciousness. That means don't do contemplative prayer. Don't let someone slay you in the spirit and you lose consciousness. That is sleep. Don't sleep, okay, as do others. Just because the youth group is going, doing Walk in the Maze and doing the contemplative prayer, don't do it. Don't let your kids do it. Don't let your kids go to the Youth with a Mission or the Dare to Share or the big youth conference that the church up the street is putting on, because they're going to put on a rock show and they're going to teach your kids how to do this prayer thing. Don't sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And that's what we were talking about here. It's a day of darkness, people. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. This is the whole thing of the day of the Lord. Wow. A lot of things. And I don't remember when we started on this one little phrase here in the Bible. But to be honest with you, this is how I like to study the Bible. I'll just say, you know, everybody's different. I am not one. I don't know if I'm attention deficit. What was I saying? Anyway, I am not one to just sit and read whole strands of the Bible all at once. I try to, but it's not me. I take here a little, and I study that thing all throughout the Bible. I'll take one word or a phrase, and I'll just go through the whole Bible and try to get some wisdom on that. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I'm just saying that's how I do it. And so this is how I study the Bible. And I think God's wanting to show us some wisdom here. He's wanting us to wake up. He's wanting us to be aware of the times that we're living in, and maybe just how close we are. But the day of the Lord, this is 2 Peter now, chapter, am I in the right place? Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3. the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's 1 Thessalonians. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So everything that you've ever done your whole life, gone, just like that, okay? It would be like coming home after church one Sunday and finding that your whole house and everything, your contents, everything, had been burned up and completely destroyed. And I'll tell you something, if you've never been in a situation in life where you have lost everything, and I have, if you've never been in a situation in your life where you've lost everything, it wakes you up, okay? It really does. One day, I lost everything. And that same day, God gave it all back, far better than I ever had before. That's the kind of God that He is. So He says in verse 11, I'm going to say this, I'm going to be done. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Something that is missing out of the equation of most churches today is holiness and godliness. And I know it's a struggle. I know it's hard to be holy. I know it's hard to think holy thoughts and always be pious and holy all the time. It's hard. It's hard to be godly. But remember, godliness has a lot to do, number one, with how we live. And he talks about our conversation here. In other words, how we converse with people. What do they know about us? They say, well, he says he's a Christian. He's there with Budweiser in his hand. They know better. Okay, they know the truth. And so we be holy in our conversation and how people see us, and not putting on some big front like you're something when you're really not. But godliness and strive for godliness. And the Bible talks about a godly person. For this shall all that is godly. I'm trying to remember the psalm. I think it's Psalm 32 where it talks about a person that's godly will have his sins covered. And so just keep these things in mind, people. If you see all these things going on, you see what disaster this oil thing could be. And I don't know where it's going to end up. Some of you think y'all have it all figured out. I don't think we do yet. But all this stuff that's going on right now, and we see the day of the Lord is at hand. It's within grasp. Why aren't we changing our lifestyle? Why aren't we changing our attitude? Why aren't we changing, or at least why aren't we asking God to change things about us? Anyway, enjoying this. We're going to finish up with 2 Peter. Pray, because I don't know where we're going to go after this. And if you got any suggestions, I won't mind you sending me an email or whatever. Hey, Pastor Mike, let's do this. But anyway, I thought maybe I'd talked about the rapture. We might do that. But anyway, I love you. God bless you. And just be praying for us. Next week, I'll be in Green Forest, Arkansas, preaching at a Bible camp. And so I won't be able to give. I'll be going dark. Okay, no internet, no nothing during that whole week. Okay, so just pray for us down there. God bless you. I love you. Bye-bye.